Things are getting a little testy down at the central bank.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon in for Bill Radke. A couple of weeks ago, the Federal Reserve surprised the markets when it decided to buy more government debt. It was seen as a Hail Mary pass of sorts to further prop up the weak economy. But with interest rates already near zero, the Fed has just a few more moves left in its playbook to score economic points. And we're just learning that there was far more debate than usual about the move. Marketplace's Amy Scott joins us live with the details. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, Bob.
So what are we hearing about this unusual debate within the Fed?
Well, this comes from the Wall Street Journal. It reports today that at least 7 out of the 17 Fed officials meeting on August 10th had some reservations about what the Fed should do about the economy. The journal called it among the most contentious meetings of Bernanke's tenure.
Okay, then remind us in the end what the Fed decided to do at that meeting on August 10th.
The board decided to shore up the Fed's $2 trillion balance sheet of securities. Rather than let it shrink, they're going to keep buying government debt to help keep interest rates low. Of course, not all the members get to vote, and in the end, the formal vote was 9-1 in favor.
And what were the two sides of this divided thinking exactly?
Well, some officials were worried about confusing investors, making them think that the economy is even worse off than it is. Others were worried that the strategy just might not work. The question now is what this dissent might mean for future Fed policy, and we'll likely hear more about potential strategies when Ben Bernanke and other officials meet in Jackson Hole, Wyoming later this week.
Marketplace's Amy Scott, thanks.
You're welcome.
Back to today, and the still anemic recovery is doing a number on the numbers. As the yen hit a 15-year high against the dollar, Tokyo's Nikkei lost more ground. It fell 1.3%, and major European exchanges aren't faring any better at this hour, down around 1% or more. Are you a jailbreaker? For years, users of the Apple iPhone have been engaging in that practice. We're talking about hacking into your cell phone so you can use software that hasn't been sold and authorized by Apple. The government recently decided the practice is not illegal, but it also didn't stop phone makers from doing what they can to stop it. And now Apple is turning to the U.S. Patent Office, as Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson reports.
Apple has applied for a patent that would allow it to identify unauthorized jailbreakers. It could take pictures of users, record their voices, even monitor their heartbeats. If unauthorized use is suspected, Apple could restrict access or even delete information from the phone. Tech analyst Charles Galvin with Forrester Research says it's probably not as devious as it sounds, that Apple simply wants more control over the user experience.
I think the idea that your iPhone would constantly be monitoring your heartbeat and acting in a very big brother-like way is pretty far from, I think, the Apple ideal of how customers experience their products. And I think it's unlikely that they would go to that extreme.
Apple is refusing to comment. Tech analyst Rob Enderle says the company may have another motive in mind, to compete with its more secure rivals in the market for business customers.
It really does look to be more along the lines of securing the phone and allowing the phone to better address the competitive threat represented by BlackBerry and, to a much lesser extent, Microsoft.
The Patent Office says it may take a year or more for any final word on Apple's patent application. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Yellow Book 360, offering a spectrum of marketing tools for small businesses designed to go beyond yellow. More at yellowbook360.com.
How many times have you checked the box on this question? Have you ever been convicted of a felony? Many job applications ask, of course, but advocates for ex-cons say the question handcuffs those who want to stay on the straight and narrow through legitimate employment. Sarah Hewlett of Michigan Radio says Detroit is the latest city to consider banning the box.
Inside a Detroit office building, half a dozen men sit in a narrow room listening to Derek Blackman give advice about finding a job. Blackman works for a program called Flip the Script with Goodwill Industries, and the guys he's counseling have all been recently released from prison.
What else is good or bad about the interview?
You can tell them that you're going to be on a good, hard worker. You're going to be on work on time.
Man, I work.
You're going to be at work on time.
The bill did.
Right.
I was waiting.
Right.
You can sell yourself.
Right.
But many ex-offenders will never get to the interview. That's because checking the felony conviction box on the job application will often send their forms straight to the reject pile. So Detroit could soon remove the question from government job applications and make city contractors do the same. City Councilman Ken Cockrell is sponsoring the proposed ordinance. He says some people are worried the policy could be an affirmative action program for criminals. But Cockrell says applicants will still have to undergo background checks for some jobs.
And that's important because obviously you don't want somebody that's got multiple drunk driving convictions getting a job driving a DDOT bus. But if you're a person that's maybe just applying to cut grass on city-owned property, yeah, you shouldn't necessarily be penalized or asked whether or not you did something 20 years ago.
It's estimated that about 27,000 people in Detroit are on probation or parole. And advocates for ex-cons say shutting them out of the workforce is bad for the city in the long run. Keith Bennett runs the Flip the Script program.
You get in where you fit in. And if these people can't fit back into society, they'll get back into life of crime. And we're going to pay for that.
Detroit is not the first city to consider the change. Boston and Chicago have already dropped the question from job applications. But officials in those cities say it's difficult to tell whether more ex-cons are finding gainful employment. That's because the poor economy means there's not much hiring going on. In Detroit, I'm Sarah Hewlett for Marketplace.
And finally, remember all those times as a kid that you had to make your own sound effects for your prized collection of Hot Wheels cars? Well, now you've grown up, and you still have to make your own engine sounds if you drive one of those newfangled hybrids. Until now, that is. Toyota announced today it's going to sell what it calls an approaching vehicle audible system for its Prius. The company says the device will automatically emit the synthesized sound of an electric motor to alert pedestrians to the presence of a quiet vehicle. Toyota may be late to the game, though. I mean, if you think about it, one of its rivals, Mazda, has been making those noises for years. I think the other way of doing it is called beep, beep. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.